Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Buzzed Binging. My name is Natalie.
Christy, your mom.
And we're going to be covering Severance Season 2, Episode 4, Woe's Hollow.
Woe's Hollow.
There's drama.
Clearly. So much drama.
Yes. And
I have, really, to, I have to mention that John Turturro in this, because he is the king of so crazy ass drama, is amazing.
I love him in this episode.
He's so great. I mean, he's great generally, but he is just. Yeah, he's it in this episode. I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. You were saying? There's so much drama?
Yeah. What I was saying was that it's really contained to the last 20 minutes. Because, like, a lot of this episode is just wandering around in the woods. I will say.
I've got so many musicals in my head right now. Like Into the Woods and Jim.
I was thinking of Lost in the Woods from Frozen 2.
Yes, that
but,
too.
What's so funny is I remembered this episode for, like, the drama that happens in it, but then I forgot about all the random shit that happens in it. And I think that's a really good way to look at Season 2. It's going to be interesting comparing the seasons once we get down to that, because the highs of Season 2 are really, really high. Like, the drama is really good, and the characters are, like, all heightened and doing all this stuff, and it's, like, big set pieces. But it's also, like, sandwiched by all this random shit that they add in. It's like, okay, I know this is for atmosphere, but what the fuck are we doing in the woods?
It feels like filler. So, and
a lot of it,
you
feels
know,
like filler.
It's an interesting question, and I think, you know, it's something that someone with a critical eye probably should have looked at. Much like I feel like about Season 3 of Ted Lasso. Anyway, so
we recently rewatched Ted Lasso.
Yeah. So moving on.
It's not that Season 2 of Severance or Season 3 of Ted Lasso are necessarily bad.
Season 3 of Ted Lasso really could have used better. I don't think this one needed one quite as badly, but it definitely needed one.
It's just, they're completely different shows.
Yes.
And they needed editing for completely different reasons.
Okay. So, we have our usual disclaimers, which we were going to get to eventually. And they include that there will be cursing, there will be spoilers for the show, obviously, there have been several already. And we are having something, this is your idea.
Yes, because we had it in the fridge. It's Biltmore Christmas White.
Yes, it's actually a Natalie favorite, and so we had to have it at some point, and we keep it in the fridge whenever we can find it because she likes it so much.
I'm trying to remember. I think we went to Biltmore for one Christmas, and we went to a wine tasting,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't participate in that wine tasting. However, I did.
They had an online quiz.
Yes, it was the online quiz I was going to talk about. It, you got to just kind of choose your notes that you like. I tend to like fruitier notes.
Well, it like asks you like what foods you like. What you like coffee, you know, that kind of stuff.
And so mine ended up being the Christmas White. And so even though I couldn't participate in the tasting, we still got a Christmas White and we got to try it. And it was awesome. I loved it. I will also say that I don't know if it was this exact version of Christmas White, but it's, you know how everyone has that first moment or instance where alcohol makes you throw up? Mine, ironically, was a Barbie movie marathon. I had a beer.
We have not had our audience, experience a Barbie movie marathon. Not saying it won't happen. Proceed.
It's possible. And now that you put it out there, it must happen. But
you've done Lord of the Rings. Let's do Barbie.
There we go. I think there that's only fair. But it was a Barbie movie marathon. I had a beer and then I had a whole bottle of Christmas wine.
I was not present for this. I had a girls' weekend.
You were having a girls' weekend with your friends. It was actually.
This is our listeners.
Yeah. And so I was home from college and so my dad were having a Barbie movie marathon.
Bless him.
And I had a beer and a whole bottle of wine and I threw up for the first time because of alcohol. And Because I always assumed I had a really high tolerance, and not to say that I don't. It's more just it was a lot at once, and I should have paced myself.
Which is what happens when people
And
take too
also,
much.
don't have a whole bottle of wine by yourself. That
Never.
I think
Yes.
that's a really good thing to live by. You don't
Amen.
do that to yourself.
Amen.
But yeah, that was mine.
Yes.
And
Yes.
what
So,
a fun way to have done it.
but I will say this about the Christmas White, and of course, that whole area, Biltmore, has had a lot of problems because they had a hurricane go through there, and it damaged a lot. So they're rebuilding, and we really haven't had much wine. I think this is the first Biltmore wine we've had since that blew through, and it's
Yeah.
good. It's not quite the same,
I
but
feel
there
like
were a
we've had
lot.
this Christmas white for a while, though, haven't we?
Not since, I mean, we bought it this year. We didn't
Oh,
buy it
okay. I
yet,
didn't
so
realize that.
no. But it is primarily a Riesling type wine, so it's got a lot of. It's very drinkable and appley, and a kind of picnic wine. So it is pleasant. Anyway,
We also have an email.
yes.
Buzzbinging@gmail.com. I
Oh,
always forget to add that now that we
yeah.
have it.
I've
Not
been
that
trying to put
anyone
it
is
out there,
using
but.
it. Ha
Hint,
Hint,
hint, nudge,
hint.
nudge.
Please use it. We would love to hear from you.
We have so many listeners around the world. I'm so excited. This is just thrilling for us.
We don't know if all of you are real. And so if you'd like to prove that you are a real person, why not send us an email and just
Not ChatGPT,
I honestly don't care if you just I can interpret chat.
There you go.
So just please
Reach out to us.
prove to us that you're real because sometimes we don't think you are. And it's not out of like any kind of uppityness that we don't think that. It's more just because we can't believe that people are actually listening to us. And so if
Yeah.
you want to make us feel better,
That's why, yeah,
send
sure.
us an email.
Yep,
And
would love it.
well, send us an email for an actual reason. Like, you don't just say hi. Give us like let us know what you think about what we're covering or what we have covered in the
What we
past
should
or
cover.
what you want us to cover in the future. We would love to hear from you. I we have an idea of what we're going to be doing next, but also in the future after that, it's not a super long thing that we're covering next, but in the future, there are so many options. So we'd love to know what you think.
Yes.
So getting into this episode of Woe's Hollow, the innies blip into the forest, Irv is on a frozen lake, and Mark's on a cliff, and everyone else is scattered to the wind, and they all converge on the cliff.
Yeah, top of the
And
cliff.
yes.
It's snowy. It's cold. They have big coats and furry hats.
Yes. And so they find this TV, this old TV that,
On
like,
a cliff top.
on a cliff
No one
top.
thinks this is
What
weird.
it reminds me of is in first grade at my Catholic school, they would push in the
Yes,
big ass
very
TV
cheap
to watch,
school
like,
AV. Yes.
Caillou or some shit, like, or VeggieTales or whatever they were showing us back in first grade. Actually, VeggieTales was more of a second grade thing. Anyway, it very reminiscent of like early 2000s, and so
Or
it
even way before that. So go ahead.
whatever the early 2000s or t early 2010s could afford at a like private school.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it's a message from Milchick. It's like, this is where Kier used to be. Remember that one painting? This is that cliff. So hey, go and follow in his footsteps, and you'll find the fourth appendix, which is something he wrote right before he died. And you will find out so much really interesting information.
About Dieter. Da, da, da. Who the fuck is Dieter?
That's a great question. And
Dieter. Sorry, that I've got SNL in my head. Never mind.
okay. And follow these random clones of you's directions, like pointing towards where you're supposed to go, and you will find the fourth appendix. So they
Or
offer,
appendage is the case, maybe.
they walk through the forest, they find the cave where the appendix is,
I will
and
say that these, like, I don't know if they're holograms. I don't know what
I
the
don't
fuck
know
they
what they
are.
are,
They
Mom.
look like the most fucked up
puppets. Like they look drugged and like creepy. They're just
Like a mannequin come to life.
but yeah.
Anyway, so they are reading this fourth appendix, and apparently.
Appendix is in a cave that's supposed to look like a natural cave, but it is on a shelf with a reading light over it.
So what's in the fourth appendix?
What's in the fourth appendix? Good question. There is a whole story about how Kier was in the womb with another, and the other is Dieter, his twin. And they went into the woods because Dieter wanted to go in the woods, and according to this fourth appendix, Dieter wanted them to be poor and live in the woods and just, I guess, be hermits of some kind. And while they were out there, Dieter became somewhat animalistic. I guess he masturbated or something, or had sex with an animal. I don't know. It's a little unclear. And then something happened to Dieter, like he started becoming like a tree or dying or melting or something. But he died in the woods near at this location with Woe's Hollow. And Woe's Hollow, they see it, it's a waterfall.
What's so funny is that they find Milchick at Woe's Hollow, and Milchick says this is the tallest waterfall in the world. It's
It is
not
much taller than
obvious.
him.
It is obviously not. It's just the funniest thing. That made me laugh out loud for a good minute. I had to pause it. It was
Did.
so funny. That I don't know why. I think it was the earnestness in which he said it, and or the fact that they might believe him. Really got to me, but it's very funny.
Seriously, they do a great job when they pop into this forest of being like, oh wow, there's a sky. I thought that was fake. That kind proceed.
They have a camp set up, and Melchick and Miss Wong introduce them to fire. Probably. Along the way,
Good.
I will say there's already been a little bit of tension. But among the four innies is they came across this dead seal, and also at this point, Irving has noticed Mark and Hallie getting closer and being flirty, and Irving confides in Mark and is like, hey, I don't know if Hallie was telling us the truth about her outing override night. Like, why didn't she go anywhere? Why, what's up with that night gardener? And so he's very skeptical, and Mark's like, don't do that. Like, it's whatever. Just because it didn't work out for you does not mean that it was different for her, like, than what she accounted. And he starts getting very defensive, like, with at any mention of Bert, and they're all at each other's throats a little bit, and it's like, okay, let's just
They're
defuse the
tired, they
tension.
haven't eaten, they've been walking in the snow
No, and
all
it's
day.
fair. They have food at the camp, and they're gathered around the campfire. Helly brings Irv a frozen, like a just a snow seal, like a little, like, packed
We
snow
have failed
seal.
to mention some of this crazy ass corporate shit that was part of this. So Milchick in the video is referring to their outdoor retreat and team building occurrence.
It's the addition of the fucking, like, occurrence
That
that it,
oh yeah.
like, you could just call it a team building exercise, but no, you had to call it a full-on acronym with occurrence at
I
the
will tell you right now that the concept of team building exercise came up during my lifetime as an employee, and I think it is about as corporate and bullshit as this team building occurrence thing. But
end. I've always
be
been
that
of
as it may.
the belief that you can't force team bonding. It just kind of happens naturally. And I think, honestly, media in general kind of back that up. Like, think of Pitch Perfect 2. They couldn't come together as an a cappella group until they just kind of naturally did, and they opened up to each other. It wasn't because of the team building. It was more the things they were doing. It was because of just they opened up to each other.
Yeah. So I will point out
I don't know
that
why that was my that was my example, but it
because
was.
Pitch Perfect is just fine. So yeah, they'd seen a dead seal and Irving says something about eating it. And so Helly, as a joke, offers him a seal of made out of snow, you were saying.
And then Irv's like, hey, you know, you can talk to me about what actually happened during your overtime. You don't need to be ashamed of it. And she just is in complete denial. She's like, no, nothing else happened. And obviously, I mean, I think this is where warning bells, when I initially watched, kind of went off for me. Because if you could tell anybody, it would be Irving. And not to say that she couldn't tell Mark since she is close to Mark, but I feel like she is more likely to outsource that kind of stuff to somebody else, and it wouldn't be Dylan. And so Irving coming to her in this like a more isolated environment, away from cameras as far as they know, and just being like, hey, you know, you can tell me what happened, and this is a safe space. I opened up about like how awful my experience was. If yours was also awful, that's okay, and we can talk about that. And then her still being like, nope, I'm not doing that. It's like, okay.
So they also, they're sitting around the campfire, they're hearing Milchick read this story of Dieter, which again, hilarious. But Hallie starts making fun of it, which is
Well, I'm
again.
sorry. Also, it ends with chaos is whore.
So apparently, Kier goes to Woese Hollow to have the waterfall drown out the sounds of his brother melting or whatever. And there's this scary looking bride who looks like the corpse bride or a hag or something. And there's a picture in the book gets shown around, and that person tells him that Dieter is dying because he is chaos's whore. And
I kind of want to use that in regular life. Just
being
your
chaos.
chaos is whore. I'm acting like chaos is whore. It's like,
That's
okay,
possible.
that's fun.
It's kind of like having a music dance experience. But yes,
Anyway,
chaos.
Holly.
Hallie starts making jokes about it, and it's all about like penises and stuff like that. And Mark thinks it's funny too. And they are clearly extremely attracted to each other. And everyone's kind of clocking it. But Milchick gets pissed about it, and he has the child dump all of the marshmallows into the fire, and no one can have
Marshmallows are for team players.
it.
Irv calls Mark out on flirting with Hallie after Milchick and Miss Wong leave, and he pressures her again about the night gardener. And Irv calls out that Mark's also not really taking his outie's wife being potentially dead seriously enough. Even the last episode, we saw that he was taking it pretty damn seriously.
But all of a sudden he's acting like it's not a thing.
I do agree with that. I do think that he's forgetting,
Himself.
yeah, he's forgetting
Because
himself
that is
because
a big
Helly,
part of Mark.
what do you mean? Forgetting himself?
Loving Gemma.
Oh, loving Gemma, sure. Not that Irv knows that, but he has a feeling since he married her. Yeah, I think that's a fair assumption. And then Helly snaps back at him and is just like, you guys, it's fine. He's just upset that Bert's gone. And it's just like, okay, Hallie, we
Be
don't
a
need to go
bitch.
that far. I think what he's bringing up is valid, and I know it's attacking you technically, but like, he's right in bringing up these concerns
Yes.
about a fucking night gardener. And hey, Mark, remember your wife? It's or your outie's wife, and it's. Obviously, he is coming out in anger, and so she's coming back with anger, which you shouldn't meet anger with anger. It's literally not going to solve
But it
anything,
happens
but
more
it
often.
happened. But obviously, it happens to everybody. But yeah, Helly snaps back, and it's bad. Irv stomps off. Mark checks on Helly later, and she says she regrets saying that to Irv. And this is more subtext than anything else, but to prove that Mark doesn't want his outie's wife and is confident that they'll find her, and he's very like touched by the fact that Hallie has been helping him with this, they have sex.
Yeah, that is really not how that's like. You act like that's like a normal response to that. Like, no.
Me? No.
No.
That is not a normal response. Hey, to prove that I'm
No.
not into my other brain, half of my brain's wife, let's have
That's
sex.
just sex.
Because you know what? We need sex. But I think.
But Hallie's clearly into it.
Oh, yeah. But
It's not that Mark isn't, but
Mark's the
yeah, but oh God. And he, but what he says is almost like defiant jazz. He's kind of like, well, I can make Google eyes at whoever I want to. It's like, this is a mistake.
Well, we
Moana.
all know that it is a mistake doing it in this way. I think that regardless of what we find out later, it is a mistake for it to have like sprung from Helly just got in a huge fight with everybody and it just became a whole fucking mess.
But they all took her side. Dylan took her
Yeah,
side,
Dylan did take her side.
and of course Mark did. So Irving wanders off into the woods with a torch, and eventually his torch goes out and he sleeps on a rock,
This
which
is
is
a
sad.
very long sequence that
Very
does
long.
not need to be this
And then
long.
there's a dream
It
that
is
involves
only there
Bert.
for vibes. Much like this entire appendix bullshit is
Yeah.
just there for vibes and weird Kier shit.
Yeah.
We get enough weird Kier shit in general in this show. I don't think we needed one about masturbating and then turning into the forest floor.
No.
I'm just gonna say.
No.
But anyway, yeah, he has this weird vision. It's like, oh, Bert's there and the bride from the story is there and it's they're at their cubicle and then he wakes up and it's morning and he heads back towards the camp. He's like running back towards the camp because he's freaked the fuck out. Fair enough. So Mark wakes up, Holly's not there, and they didn't well actually before that, in between sessions, he wakes and you can't tell me I'm wrong, but he
There
wakes
was passion, and then there was more passion. It's
Okay,
Gregory
Lucy.
Bridgerton.
Okay.
All Gregory Bridgerton.
Anyway,
Everyone did a lot of that too.
anyway.
Gregory's book is the worst book, just saying.
Of all of them, no, I disagree with that. Of all
Okay,
the
so to
books,
Sir Philip is probably.
thank you. Not only that, but like of all the other
When was the
books
last
that
time we
we
did books? I'm sorry.
it's been a long
Oh, of
time.
all of the books, no. There are way worse books than that. So,
Yes, I
yes, I
agree.
agree.
God, if we did all the books, it would take so long.
It
Anyway,
would.
I mean, I'd be down after I'm done finishing the series I'm doing, but
Yeah,
like
we got a lot going
maybe.
on.
Yes, we do. Anyway, so Mark asks Hallie, "Hey, what did like it's okay if you tell me like what happened with your Audi, like because Hallie brings up I was ashamed of who my Audi was." And he's like, "Who was she?" And she doesn't answer and he's just like, "You know what? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who your Audi was."
Which,
And
of course, it actually does. If you're gonna like commit yourself to somebody, and that's kind of what this is. I mean, I think sex is a commitment anyway, in some on some level, and like that, you need to know what you're dealing with.
yeah. Anyway, he just kind of lets that slide. They start kissing again, and then he starts seeing Gemma, and it's clearly like the effects of reintegration or guilt. It could be either.
I get the feeling that it's much more reintegration than
I got that
guilt.
impression too, but it also could have been like thinking of Miss
Yeah, it
Casey.
has that same effect, that kind of cutting back and forth effect, that we had seen during the reintegration process. So that's why I'm saying that.
It's also why I said it. Anyway, so Irv goes back to the camp and or he's going back towards the camp. Meanwhile, Mark wakes up, Helly's not there. He runs into Dylan, they can't find Helly or Irv. They start freaking out. They talk to Milchick about it. They don't know where they are. They're all freaking out. Irv is on his way back to the camp and he comes across Helly at the waterfall. And they have this very weird conversation. Irv has seemed to have figured something out on this weird trip he's gone on. And he's like, yeah, Hallie would never be that cruel. And
Who are you? Who
who are
has the
you
power
to
to
be
send,
their outie
to send their
on
outie
the
onto
severed
the
floor?
severance floor? Somebody's got to be pretty high up in all of this. And so
Yeah,
what he
so yeah.
does, this is nuts.
He grabs her, he brings her towards the river, he's yelling for Mr. Milchick, and the rest everyone comes running, and he is yelling that she's an Egan, she's an Audi, she's the mole, or a mole. Like, not that there's the mole that they've been looking for, but a mole. And so he threatens to drown her, and he actually puts her head underwater, And he's just like, switch her back, Mr. Milchick, switch her back. And he pulls her back up for air. And she's like, no, don't do it. But then he like puts her back underwater, and Milchick pulls the plug and is like, yes, pull her back, make her an innie
Right.
again.
Yeah, so
And Irv immediately pulls Helly out of the water and immediately apologizes because this is his Helly. This is their Helly.
right.
And
Yeah, Mark, of course, is during this is like
oh
running
my
to
God,
her.
imagine.
Right. And Dylan, of course, is like, holy shit. Because, you know,
Dylan feels very
it
bad.
feels really bad because he didn't back up
We
her
don't
act.
really, this is what I find bizarre. We don't really see Mark's reaction to this, at
Yeah,
least not right this second.
right, other than like he's concerned for Helly, and he's clearly confused, but you don't get the same reaction. Like Irv and Dylan kind of yell at each other, and Dylan's like, I'm so sorry, I should have believed you. And Irving's like, look, it's all good. And of course, Milchick intervenes and is kind of, no, for having almost committed collegial murder, whatever
At
collegial
Woes
murder is,
Hollow,
at
next to a
Woes Hollow, you
river or
will be
something.
fired.
Effective immediately. And he
Okay, so.
snaps him back into his outie phase when he gets far enough in the woods.
But before that, Irving tells Dylan to hang in there. And then he's snapped back. And as he's snapped back, we start hearing the very happy
No,
holiday music.
what Milchick also says is there will be no formal valediction, catered or otherwise.
Hilarious. And there's happy elevator music. So what were your best parts of this episode?
The twist.
Yeah.
I think it's a really good twist. I think it reaffirms a lot of stuff we were suspecting. Because if I'm being honest, when I was watching it for the first time, the twist was effective, but it also just reaffirmed that Hallie was acting really weird and kind of unlike herself, but not like to a weird degree. Does that make sense? Like, I think that they played it very well, script-wise and performance-wise was fantastic.
Yeah.
Of like it was, I could, it's so funny. I felt like I could hear a little bit of Helena this time, like in some of the ways that she like talked to Irv or like just talked in general. So I was impressed by that with the performance, but also in the writing, I think that they were very smart in like kind of leaning into, oh, well, she doesn't want to reveal that she's Helena Egan, and little do we know she's actually Helena Egan. So I think that it was all played very well, and her figuring it out and like using such a violent way of like getting their attention. I think, first of all, I think it makes sense why he did that.
Yeah.
I think that's the only way they really could get attention because honestly,
They could have covered
Helena,
it up any way they wanted to,
well,
any other way. Like, if they'd done it some other way, they would have like snuck Irving off or whatever. They could have hidden it.
not just that, but I think that even Helena was not going to give up even when she was being drowned. So it was really only Milchick that was going to pull the plug on that. And so I think that was interesting. And I think that was the right way to play it, even if it was violent and he didn't want to do that to poor Helly. And then also, let's see, and Irv figuring it out is very impressive considering we don't. I think that's another thing with the twist that it's not like really spoon-fed to you until it happens, which I think is impressive. Like it's not like he had a hallucination about like, oh, Helly might not be who she thinks she is. No, he has this hallucination about a completely different thing. But then he comes back from the hallucination and is just immediately like, Helly must be an Egan. Helly is an
Yeah.
outie. It's like, okay, sure.
Sometimes that's how your brain works. So, you know,
No,
that makes total
I'm
sense.
not, I don't think that's a bad thing. I'm not. I'm kind of applauding them for it. It is an interesting choice. John Turturro, I agree. Like what you said at the beginning of this episode, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
And he, throughout this entire episode, his unease and his bitterness about the whole Bert thing and about
But
anyone
it's
bringing it
so
up.
layered, you know. It's not just that, you know, he has the corporate problems, he has all of the other problems that are there, but he also has this very personal issue that prompts it.
Corporate bullshit. It's so funny. Milchick taking things way too seriously is always going to be a favorite of mine. Of like, we're throwing the marshmallows into the fire.
Marshmallows that have cure space on it, by the way. I forget failed to mention that.
hours. That's what I have written. Dylan is really underutilized in this.
He is underutilized.
He had a moment in the last episode, but I feel like he just like did absolutely nothing.
So my best parts are the scary corporate shit. So there's a lot of layers, and again, we've talked about some of the religious overtones, and that's clearly part of what they're doing with this appendix 4 to the basically Bible of Kier. And all it's all true, and you know, like all of this stuff. There's a lot of, you know, very religious feeling, like very adamant language and performativeness that goes with that. And that's part of the outrage that Melchick has about them giggling about it. How dare you? But there's so many layers to it. Like I said, like you've got like this Bible in a cave with water and stuff like that, but it's perfectly preserved. You've got a TV on a cart on a cliffside that works, you know, that just makes it no sense. And it you know, you get the sense that almost this is the holodeck from Star Trek Next Generation, like it's all a hologram. The Helly reveal, I think, is really well done. I agree with you. And I think one of the things, and I failed to mention this tiny, tiny moment of her performance in this episode, and all of it's good, but there's a moment when she's in the tent with Irving after she's presented him with the snow seal, where he's trying to confront her about stuff, and she's, you know, trying to be the kind Helly. She's making the effort to like, oh, Irving, you know, whatever. And then her face changes to Helena. She doesn't say anything, but you see her change into her outie. And it's like she's wanting to kill him. You know, like she really wants to get Irving out of the picture. I felt like Irving, all of that, and Irving being right is just incredibly well done, John Turturro. Gets all the accolades. Yeah, so those were the best parts I wrote down. What were your worst parts?
Helena Egan, fuck you, girl. Let's talk about the mind fuck that is her fucking mark. It is so messed up. And she's manipulating this poor man. I feel so bad for Mark's Innie and Audi, yeah. Honestly. Yeah. But especially Innie, of like, he is just being yanked all over creation, like by these random weird ass women of like Cobell and now Helena Egan. It's like, y'all need to leave this poor guy alone. He's just here to fall in love and do his job. Like, just leave him alone. He clearly had a connection with Helly, and they are exploiting that. Helena, as soon as she saw that kiss on the security cameras, she knew she could exploit it. And also, I think she got some sick thrill out of it.
Much like Cobell. Is yeah. There a difference? It's hard to say.
They're more alike than we think.
Well, but there's also this, like, kind of creepy undercurrent of, did they steal Gemma on purpose?
Oh, I think they did. But
and why steal from him? And is that, you know, like, it's, there's just so much to
it. They better answer that in season 3, because I feel like it's
unanswered at this point.
All we really know about Gemma is that she was a professor of Russian literature and she was Mark's wife. That's yeah. It. And so it's just kind of like, okay, but why her?
And incredibly gorgeous.
Obviously, but we already knew that. But yeah, that was crazy. And the mind fuck that is unpacking it being Helena who has sex with Mark, and it's Helena who forced these like romantic moments, and mentally forced these romantic moments. Like, she kind of like would bring up the issue of it's unnatural in the way that they come up, because she forces the issue.
Yeah.
And because she wants to feel something. I don't know what she wants to do.
Well, it's almost like she's doing that Cobell thing of, let's put him in the wellness situation and see what happens. Like, if I ask him, you know, how's he going to respond? It's, yeah. it's so experimental and just creepy.
Manipulative. Yeah. Weird fourth appendix bullshit. That is really weird. I don't understand it, and I don't want to. Creepy double is pointing the way. Weird. Helly's attitude, like, even before it's revealed, Helly's attitude sucks. Herb's walk in the creepy woods completely too long and weird. I also will say it feels weirdly disjointed from the last episode, and not because of the change in scenery. I just feel like they could have made the threads a little tighter in that Irv should have spent at least a little bit of like last episode suspecting Helly, because I feel like he did when she initially brought up what happened, what she says happens in the override to her, and I think he mentioned it to Dylan G maybe, because Dylan G is apologizing to him about it. But I think it just feels like that part kind of came out of nowhere, and now that they're in the middle of the woods, he's finally thinking about it. It's like, I don't know why that's happening. And sometimes just how that's just how things happen. But you know, it felt like the threads got dropped last episode and then were just randomly picked up. And it's like, okay, that's fine, but it just feels weird. Does that make sense?
I have some thoughts about that, and I'll get to that in a minute. So, is that all of yours first? So what I wrote down, Mark and Helly having sex. I think this is terrible, especially because Mark really doesn't know who he's with. He says he doesn't care, and I'm not suggesting it's like a rape situation or anything like
No,
that.
it's
Clearly not.
consensual.
But the fact that he is deliberately not knowing what's going on with her is sad and disturbing. Dylan taking the wrong side in this argument, it's disappointing because Dylan had been more skeptical. I guess he's like playing corporate, but Helly's taking the non-corporate side in this argument, so it's kind of like why it doesn't, it seems inconsistent to me. Appendix four, I
Oh, you mean her
agree.
laughing at the story?
Yes, laughing at
I
Peter's
think she was
story.
trying to do that to cover her ass.
Yeah, I do have some thought about that, and something you said earlier prompted me to think something that I'm now possibly forgetting, but we'll get to it in a minute. Appendix four, I find very like the whole concept of it creepy. And one of the things that Milchick says about Appendix four and Dieter and whatever is like, all of us have a twin that goes with us everywhere. Like when we're at work or whatever, it's like, kind of like, is this like, your innie is your shadow. It's a non-person. There's so many layers to that in and of itself. But I'm thinking, who in the fuck wants a creepy puppet twin? Like these things that they've had, like pointing the way. Like, yikes! No, no. The Appendix Four story, like, and I agree with you. This episode seems random and strange. And I think there are a lot of these weird kind of corporate things like the family visitation, whatever, that seem kind of randomly thrown in here. Like somebody had an idea and it's like, how are we, can we incorporate this into an episode? But as a story, as a standalone, it's kind of an interesting episode. But I do think that there's a layer to it that we haven't really talked about, and I really didn't think about it until you brought it up. That this is something Helena wanted. And that this story, this Appendix Four, and what we were told at the beginning about Appendix Four is that it is so special that people on the severed floor aren't even allowed to know about it. Like it's kept on double secret probation or locked up or something. And you can only access it if you go to the special cave. And it's all about your animalistic tendencies, like sex and stuff like that. It's, to me, some part of me, this is Helena trying to manipulate Mark into having sex with him. And that is a level of bad that it's just kind of, it makes her that much worse to me. And I think I'd been feeling it, but not articulating it when we watched this before on, like, on the first watch. I remember feeling like, she's this god-awful bitch, which again, not terribly articulate, but that's what I'm thinking, is that she has set this whole thing up so that she can sleep with Mark, so that she can have a hold on him, that she can have leverage on him, much like, and much to a much greater extent than Cobell would have. I mean, Cobell can try, but she's not
hilly and gorgeous and all the things. So I just feel like it adds extra layers to the corporate religious awful that Helena basically is the symbol of, and all of that's bad. What grade did you give this episode?
A minus.
Yeah, I gave it an A,
I
also.
initially gave it a B plus. I do think the twist kind of saves it because if it didn't have that, what the fuck was this episode?
That's true.
Because it, I stand by what I said at the beginning of the twist and the drama, the like, the group drama really do carry this episode, and the group drama leading to the twist is really interesting. But because we've never really seen the group that divided, especially against Irving. Irving's not usually the issue. And so seeing that and everyone taking everyone else's side, like everyone's side but Irving's, and it just being a fucking mess until Irving figures it out just out of his ass and just like figures it out. Like, I stand by, I like how the twist is executed, but I also will stand by my worst part of it just kind of came out of nowhere, or at least this episode kind of did. And as far as the plot threads are concerned,
Yeah, how they're doing this reveal. I mean, I think they needed some other context than the severed floor because it's not, it's much more physically dramatic to have it out in the woods, you know?
no, and I think for sure, but I also think I have nothing against the setting in which they did it. I had an issue with how it was not really like no like weirdness was coming from Helly other than like what we picked up on last episode. And Irv wasn't sus seemingly suspecting her of anything last
Last episode,
episode.
yeah, true.
And
That's
so
not
it
the through
leading
line.
to this big, yeah, I know it needed to be a through line and it wasn't. And I feel like that was needed for this. Like, for example, I have also have another really quick point of imagine being Helly R in this situation where the last thing that you remember is kissing Mark and then you wake up underwater and Irv is holding you under and like
And
you're
then he
freezing
apologizes
cold
to you. It's
and he's
like, what the hell?
apologizing. And you're just like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
And I also had this other thought of what if she's fucking pregnant? And because first of all, I always get suspicious whenever they show any kind of sex that's outside of like that
Because
is
they're
any.
always pregnant, aren't they?
No, what I'm saying is like in a show where sex is not prominent or shown rather often, like in Game of Thrones or whatever, I always suspect that that's going to lead to a pregnancy because unless a pregnancy comes out of nowhere, but like. There's, I also think it would be so fucked up if Helena got Helly pregnant without her consent. And that's her big fuck you to her innie who tried to kill her. And I mean, I could totally see that being a thing that Helena wants to do.
This is such a rabbit hole, but yeah, I can see
Well, I thought this the first time I ever watched it. I was just like, oh, she definitely wants her fucking pregnant and
that.
miserable.
Wow, okay.
Not that
That did
being
not
pregnant
cross my
equals being
mind, but
miserable, but
okay.
like doing something against your own body's will, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's again, it's
Something
not,
long term,
and
yeah.
it's also not anything that it's not like Helly didn't like Mark enough to for her to want that kind of stuff to happen. Like she fully kissed him, like yeah, but she didn't have all of that development to have sex to him, with him. You know, it's weird. It's very weird. But yeah, it's very fucked up. And we will be still unpacking this twist
Yeah,
in the later episode.
for a while, people, because
But
there are a bunch more episodes to come.
I will say, and I kind of grazed on this earlier about season two as a whole. I think that, again, season two has some really good plot beats. However, I do think that there are some weirdly disjointed episodes that kind of just come out of nowhere. Like, I think last episode was fine for what it was, but it didn't really continue much. And it had this great ending of like reintegrating Mark. That's great. not touched on at all until a very brief glimpse mid-coitus. And then it just completely is awash with all this other big twist. It's like, okay, but what about that reintegration though? You know, it's so weird. And
Crazy.
I think it's, again, so many great ideas are in this, but it really needed to be a little bit more concise. And I think the first season did concise rather well. It
Yeah.
was slow, yes. It had fewer major big moments, yes. But it was concise.
Yeah,
And it
and
was building off of itself.
yes, and I do think that I don't think that it was a such a simplistic storyline that it wasn't engaging or thought-provoking or anything else. Clearly, it was. We talked about it, but I feel like, we're trying we're so hard to unpack this and make sense out of that. Maybe it is a little too complex at this point. So
I think
it's
that's
kind of
my
a,
issue.
like. Yeah, there's just like a Hall of Mirrors going on here.
It's like the goat room from Law and Order. It's like, why is this here?
Good question.
Mystery.
But we'll clearly have to unpack this for many, many episodes to come. So we hope that you join us. And
Cheers.
cheers.